did, invited your family to come to a Christmas service. So I saw some of you at church, and I was super excited about it and proud of you for being here. And maybe you went to another church, but I saw some of you here. And I also got to see some of you in the community, which I always love, but I never know how much I should wait. Do that. Toby, I was like, hi, Tobe. I know, I wanted to do that, and I was trying to play it cool, and then Nora said I was even more weird because I was doing this. So that's a true story. I was like, okay, I don't want to be like, I really wanted to be like, Toby! And then I was like, okay, contain myself, don't do it. So it's great to be with you. I'm going to give you a little rundown of, I feel like it's a new semester, which I know your new semester hasn't happened. I know, but it just feels like we're back together. So this is what's going to happen. The next 5 weeks, we're going to be in the book of Jonah. And then we do faith and sexuality. And then we do Easter. And then the last, like, series we're going to do is there's this book about all the questions teenagers ask about God and faith. And we are going to give you the time to vote about what questions you want answered. So. Thank you. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to worship. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us back together. Lord, I pray that as we enter into the book of Jonah, that you help us to reflect what you are saying to us about yourself, but what you are saying to us about you. So Lord, help us to put away the distractions and just be mindful of what you are doing. And so I invite the Holy Spirit into this space now. In Jesus' name, amen. separate teaching, you only get one worship song because it's too hard to do the shuffle. I'm sorry, but there you will have more music. Close your eyes. Nope, close your eyes. Raise your hand if you have never heard the story of Jonah. Okay. Keep your eyes closed. Raise your hand if you have heard the story of Jonah. Okay, you can open your eyes. When I was studying the book of Jonah, two songs came to my mind. The first one is...
was a prophet.
Ooh, ooh.
But he really never got it.
Sad but true.
If you've been watching, you can spot it.
A doodly-doo.
He did not get the point.
Compassion and mercy from me to you and you to me. Exactly what God wants to see. And yes, that is the point.
Jonah was a prophet.
Ooh, ooh.
But he really never got it.
Sad but true.
If you've been watching, you can spot it.
A doodly-doo.
He did not get the point.
Now Jonah set sail on a pirate ship in a dreadful gale.
Got eaten up by a giant whale, but managed not to be dead. You'd think he would learn a lot from being saved from an awful spot. But the second chance that he had got, he didn't want to be spread. So poor old Jonah, now he's all alone. Gotta use a megaphone to get it thrown to his head.
Raise your hand. Did you ever watch this as a kid? Okay, so some of you know. So some of you who said you had never heard the story, you actually have if you've watched this. But what I realized as I was studying, there's way more than just Jonah and a fish that goes to the story. Over break, I like to read. And so my question for you, and you can't say, I don't read, because you all read in school, okay? So what do you do when you pick up a new book? This is what I do. I look at the cover, I read the inside. Sometimes I read the back. I used to, don't do it anymore. I used to read just the last line of the book. But I can't do it anymore because a book for me is like escaping into an adventure. And when I start the book, I enter into this adventure, and everything you need to go on the adventure is in this book. You don't have to research things. You don't have to look things up. It's right here. However, when we pick up a book of the Bible, we don't have everything for the adventure. If we pick up Jonah or any book, we're like, what is actually happening? What has happened? Who are these people? Like, you have all these questions. So what do we do? I have two solutions for you, and one of them's not Google, okay? One is, in your Bible, not the Bibles that are here, but if you need a Bible, I'm happy to give you a Bible if you don't have a Bible at home. Most Bibles have a page on every book. And in the book, on this one, it talks about a timeline. Then there's the author, a date, overview, themes. There's even a map. Okay, let's say you open your Bible and you're like, Amanda, not there. Now you can go to the computer and you're going to look up the Bible Project. The Bible Project gives you an overview of every book in the Bible, and it's trustworthy. It's not Google. Okay, don't go to ChatGPT either. Go to the Bible Project, okay? So as I was looking at this, I came up with five questions that you should consider. But before we go over those five questions, anytime you pick up the Bible, there's two questions to think about, and I want you to write them down. Because, yes, Jonah is one book, but there's 66 books in this one book. And so it's the big story of God. And so when we pick up the Bible, if you read five verses or if you read a whole book, you're going to ask yourself two questions. Two questions are, What does this passage tell me about God? And what does this passage tell me about myself? So those are two questions that no matter what book in the Bible you're reading, that you can ask yourself. So based off of this info page, the first question or first topic that we're going to discuss is genre. And you're like, come on, this is not English class, but it's important. This says novel. Just like when we pick up a book, we have fiction, we have nonfiction, we have poetry, we have mystery. The same thing is true in the Bible. There's not mystery in the Bible. I mean, you could say that, but the book, the genre of books could be law, could be poetry, could be the Gospels, which means they're about Jesus living on the earth. This book, Jonah, is called a prophet book. There's 19 prophet books, and Jonah is one of them. A prophet is someone who speaks for God. Most prophet books actually tell you the words that the prophet speaks. Jonah is different. Jonah is about Jonah, so Jonah's different. Another genre part of this that you need to know is that it's a historical narrative, which means it's a history in a story. History means it's happened. It's real. Jonah is mentioned in a different book called 2 Kings, where he goes to a king, Jeroboam, and he speaks. Jesus also talks about Jonah when the Pharisees are like, "Are you who you say you are?" And Jesus uses that story of Jonah to say, Jonah was in a fish for 3 days and got spit out and saved. I am going to the ground for 3 days and I'm going to be risen. I don't think if the story was fake, Jesus would use it to prove his own like death and resurrection. That doesn't make sense to me. So this story is real. Who wrote it? We don't know. Some people say Jonah, and some people say Jonah didn't write it. So we don't know. Setting. When did it happen? Where did it happen? So we have a timeline. One is when Jesus is born. Everything before that is BC. Okay? So this happened in 785. We're in 2026 AD. This happened at 785, and it goes backwards all the way to zero. And so it happened like 785, 750. Where did it happen? If you remember, month ago, I had a country drawn up here that was divided. It was the people of God. They are the country of Israel. And they say, hey, God, we want to be like all the other nations, and we want a king to rule us. And God's like, you have God. What do you want a king for? And they're like, no, we have to be like everyone else. Story of our lives today, even. And we need a king. So Jeroboam is one of those kings, and Jonah goes and talks to Jeroboam, and that is in the nation of Israel. Where Jonah lived, the nation outside of Israel, is Assyria. Assyria is a horrible country. They violently go into Israel. They ruin where Jonah lives. His parents, his family, basically lived in a famine. They were very cruel to the people of Israel. And so that is where we find our story. And then God says, hey, Jonah, you're going to go to the capital of this country. You're going to go talk to them. And he's like, excuse me? Close your eyes. In your mind, I want you to think about the meanest, evilest person you've heard of. Picture their face. Feel in your body what you feel to them. You probably don't want to give this person any more time, any more energy. And then someone says to you, go tell that person about love. Go tell that person about being kind and how God's going to save them and that God loves them. I don't know about you, but I can feel this tension in me, and I'm like, excuse me, no thanks. That's hard. Open your eyes. It's no secret that God wanted Jonah to do this, and he ran. And as he runs, what do you expect a prophet to do? I'm like, a prophet's a holy person speaking for God. I expect them to obey. What does Jonah do? He runs. He rebels. He's like, peace out, I'm out. And then he encounters sailors who are like the worst of the, like, it's like the worst job. They're crude, they're disgusting, they don't believe in God. He encounters them and they do the opposite that we would think. We'd think they'd be like, yeah, Jonah, your God's crazy. Instead, they turn to God. This ruler that I was telling you about of Assyria that's horrible and he's mean to his people, Jonah goes and he says, hey, God loves you. Turn away from your evil ways. We expect the ruler to stick with his ways because he's powerful. Why? Of course he would. Nope, in this story, he actually tells his people, we're not going to eat, we're going to fast, and we're going to turn to God. So we're going to encounter all of these upside down things in this story. And we're going to hear themes, our last thing that to consider when we're opening a book, of repentance, where people and us turn from our evil and we turn to God. Where grace happens, where we receive this gift that we do not deserve. And we hear about justice. When you have that picture of that evil person in your head, you're like, I don't know about you, but I was like, why is that person breathing? Why? That's justice. That's human justice. But we're going to learn about God's justice. That includes, like, forgiveness and love. Jonah is not written like my novel to entertain us. Jonah's actually going to be a mirror to the reader, to us. I use this mirror, and before I look in the mirror and I ask myself this next question, it's easy. Am I okay with God loving my enemy or your enemy? And I'm like, yeah, God loves everyone. And then I have to look in this mirror and I ask myself the same question. Am I okay with God loving everyone? And I start to see the worst parts of myself. How am I like Jonah? What characteristics of Jonah are in me? I'll be interested as we read and we see this reflection, what characteristics we see in ourselves and how God chooses to meet us even though we're just like Jonah. How do we run from God and what he wants for us? How do we run from God when he's like, I need you to be the love and the compassion to this person, and we're like, sorry, that's uncomfortable. So I have this challenge for you this next week. And you're gonna be like, Amanda, come on. Because this is what my kids said to me. I want you in the next 7 days to read or listen to the book of Jonah in one sitting. And you're like, that's a whole book of the Bible. Are you joking me? It's 9 to 10 minutes. Raise your hand if you are in your car for 10 minutes a day. Any car. Okay. And if you're not in a car, maybe you're waiting for basketball practice to happen and you're like, dang, I have 10 minutes. Take the 10 minutes and listen. And as you listen, think, what sticks out to me? 10 minutes. Can you give 10 minutes to reading or listening to the book of Jonah, the Word of God? That's my challenge. Another challenge that Matthew and I have is we came up with one verse that shows like the whole like big theme of Jonah. Like we didn't come up with it. We picked it out of the Bible, to be clear. And so the verse is Jonah 4:2. And can you memorize it? For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and a relenting from disaster. Think if we thought and memorized that God is love and gracious and merciful as we went upon our day, even though We have Jonah characteristics in us. And so that brings me to the second song. I said Jonah as I was studying. Two songs came to my mind. One is, it's called Running to a Runaway. It's on my current second favorite album that I'm playing in my car for the last 3 months. And it's about how even in the darkest times, or when we choose to be the runaway, God runs to us. We're running away from him, and he's like, nope, I'm right here. And so we're going to listen to the song. I'm going to come up and pray, and then you're going to go to your small groups.
I cry to the mountain from the shadows of my wilderness. The rivers of my hope are running dry, praying for a light to break the sky. I cry to the heavens from a weary heart with nothing left. I need you like I need the air I breathe. Even in the darkness, I believe. You're my defender when my enemies are everywhere. The one who finds me where I am but doesn't leave me there. My song will rescue when I have reached the end. I call your name, you heard my cry, and let me out into the light. A savior with a soul to save. You're running to a runaway. What a God you are. What amazing grace. How you chased me down when I lost my way. A love that I could not escape. You're running to a runaway. I cry to the Father, reaching for a stronger hand than mine. I know I never should have wandered off alone. I should never be this far from home. But you won't rest until you bring me back where I belong. There at the table by your side like I was never gone. Heard my cry, you led me out into the light. A savior with a soul to save. You're running to a runaway. What a God you are. What amazing grace. How you chased me down when I lost my way. A love that I could not escape.
Father, thank you. Thank you that you pursue us even though we run the other way at times. Thank you that you love us, that you offer us grace and forgiveness. Lord, help us to take the time this week to be intentional for 10 minutes with you, that through our time that you would speak to our hearts and our minds about who you are and who we are. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.